All right, Chichos, I need you to listen carefully to this list and see if any of these describe you. You have been in therapy for years, or you have been in 12-step recovery for years, but all of your healing has been in your head and not in your body. You live in a constant state of hypervigilance. You are constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. You have 3 good days in a row, you're bracing for impact, or perhaps you just can't enjoy any of the good things in your life. Feeling good feels so unsafe. Or perhaps you are totally disconnected from your body. You are numb. You're checked out when somebody asks you how you're feeling. You don't know how to answer. You are stuck in self-sabotage, procrastination, self-doubt, and no matter what you do, you stay stuck in it. You cannot be alone with yourself, so you scroll, you eat, you stay busy, you do anything not to feel. Your inner critic is absolutely relentless, and after a lifetime of hearing it, you can't even identify it as being your inner critic. It just feels like who you are. You are currently doing IFS therapy or parts work, and self is more of a concept that you understand rather than something that you actually can feel. Or perhaps you've been doing this healing work all by yourself, and somewhere in you, you know that healing and community is the piece that's been missing. So if you heard yourself in any of that, and who are we kidding, folks? I know that at least one of those things described you, okay? I have a message for you. I built a course. This is the first one that I built entirely myself, and it is everything that has actually worked for me. All of the stuff that moved the needle after doing years and years and years of therapy and realizing, holy shit, I'm not as healed as I thought I was. This is nervous system work. This is somatic parts work. This is actually learning how to be in your body instead of just knowing that you should be. I put it all together in 1 7-week live journey, and I am not teaching this from the top of the mountain as somebody who is perfectly healed. I am in the middle of this work just like you, and I built this thing because I needed it and nobody had put it together in this specific way for people like us. It is called Safe Within, a somatic healing journey to finding self-energy, and it starts July 1st. Early bird pricing runs through June 10th, so you, the person who is currently coming up with all the reasons why you shouldn't sign up, or you, the person who feels that little pit in their stomach right now telling them to sign up, or you, who doesn't feel anything in their body right now because they're so checked out, but whose head is telling them, I think I need to do this. Let's do the damn thing already. Go to adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin, adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin. You can find all the details. Do it now. Okay. How do I know I'm healing? Healing is one of the only things that can be happening right in front of you and you still feel like it's not working. Not because it isn't, but because most of us are carrying around a set of beliefs about what healing is supposed to look like that are just as distorted as the patterns we're trying to heal from. Number one, you're measuring your progress against someone else's timeline. Their breakthroughs, their post-therapy glow, their confident boundary setting that seems to be effortless, and yours feels clumsy and shaky and way too late. You forget that you're comparing your insides to someone else's outsides, which is the exact same thing you've been doing your whole life. You think healing means feeling good, that one day you'll just feel better, steady, regulated, at peace, and that's how you'll know it's working. So every hard day feels like proof that you're not there yet. But healing doesn't feel like finally arriving somewhere calm. A lot of the times it feels like grief or anger or exhaustion because you're actually feeling things now instead of performing your way through them. You think healing is a straight line. So when you go backwards, when you react the old way, fall into the old patterns, lose it on someone you love, it feels like you've erased your progress, like you're back at zero. You don't realize that going backwards is sometimes a necessary part of going forward. That the spiral passes through the same spots, but you're not in the same place you were the last time you were here. The people around you aren't reflecting it back, and you still need external validation to believe something is real. When the people in your life don't notice or don't affirm your growth, it's easy to conclude it doesn't exist, especially when your whole system was trained to look outside yourself for proof that you're okay. Your critical parent is louder than your progress. That voice has had a lifetime head start. It can take any evidence of growth and reframe it as not enough, not fast enough, not the right kind. You set a boundary and it says you were too harsh. You feel a feeling and says you're being dramatic. It will always have something to say. You keep moving the goalpost. You said you'd feel better when you started therapy. Then when you set the boundary. Then when you left the relationship. then when you got through the grief, and every time you arrive somewhere, the finish line moves. Because somewhere deep down, you learned that done is dangerous, and that if you stop striving, you stop being safe, where it actually lives. Healing is almost never in the big moments. It's in the pause before the reaction that used to be automatic. It's in the question you asked yourself that you never would have thought to ask a year ago. It's in the night you chose sleep over spiraling, the text you didn't send, the guilt you felt and sat with instead of letting it run you. It's in the fact that you even noticed, because noticing is the thing that wasn't available to you before. You may not feel healed. You might not even feel like you're healing, but if you're in this room asking these questions, doing this work, it's happening, even when you can't see it, especially when you can't see it. So, food for thought. Which of these beliefs hits hardest for you? What does that one sound like in your head? Can you think of a small moment recently, something you almost missed that might actually be evidence of healing? Do you have a version of the moving goalpost? What's the current "I'll feel better when" that you're holding on to? Can you think of a time in your healing where it felt like you were going backwards, but looking back now, you can see it was actually a necessary part of moving forward? And what has been the hardest thing to accept about how healing actually works? So I was jotting down a list before the meeting started. For the longest time, I thought my problem was just only in romantic relationships. Like, I feel like I thought that was just solely my issue when I started this podcast. Like, I didn't have the awareness of like how pervasive it was impacting my life. Maybe it wasn't at the time. Maybe it was, and I just didn't see it. But like, I just had no idea just how many areas of my life that this was impacting. And so I have a bunch of signs. So like with my parents, first of all, it was like learning how to not participate in the dysfunction, getting to a point where I even wasn't drawn to participate in the dysfunction, fully accepting that there's nothing that I can say to them for them to understand what my experience has been and what it's like to live with complex PTSD. Feeling comfortable telling them no without like fear of backlash from them. Being able to recognize in the moment that my dad was in fight response and not getting triggered in that moment. More wounds revealing themselves, because that was an indicator that I had the capacity to now face them. Being able to recognize when I was getting triggered, the gap between getting triggered and recognizing I was triggered got smaller and smaller and smaller. Then what came after that was not just the recognition that I am triggered, it's a part of me is triggered. Being able to cry, being able to get angry, realizing that when a friendship ends, it's not because there's just something pathologically wrong with me. Being turned off by the type of guys that I used to be drawn to, my apartment being more regulated, knowing how much money is in my bank account, being able to sit with myself for an hour to do breath work and like meditation and prayer before starting my day, giving myself a break when I had a unproductive day, and being able to have compassion for myself for the things I used to shame the shit out of myself. Floor's open.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this topic tonight. It's just been really on my mind. And I think there's a few things that really resonated with me that you were saying, Andrea, that a sign of healing being that you are noticing the dysfunction. You know, I went 40 plus years in all of these dysfunctional relationships and just had no clue. And the realization that it was not just my romantic relationships, that it was my friendships, it was my work relationships, it was my family, that felt terrible because it felt like this huge backslide. It felt like this crumbling of my world. And this is such a beautiful reframe to think of it as, no, these are actually now wounds that I am able to acknowledge. And we cannot fix what we don't acknowledge, what we don't see. And that is pretty huge. That's such a powerful reframe for me. I think that there's also having the language finally to talk about these things that I didn't have before is a sign of growth, that I know what it means now when I say a boundary. I know what it means now when I can say, like, oh, that feeling is me being activated, or that feeling is me being triggered. When we can name it, we can work through it. And then I think the other thing that's really hitting me tonight is that healing feels terrible sometimes. When you're finally feeling all of these feelings that you have just been ignoring and suppressing for so long, when you're finally releasing them so that you can move through them, it feels like you're dying. And that does not say anything about who I am. This is who I am. There isn't anything here to fix. I am messy and I am complex and I am beautiful, all at once. And I'm so thankful for this group that I thank you, Andrew, for pointing out that healing is joining this group, like taking that risk, because I didn't think that I would ever have a place to be able to share this experience with people. And it's been such a short time, but I'm already just so grateful for all of you. So love to you all. Thanks.
Thanks, Laura. I forgot to say this part. We don't realize how much of healing is just awareness, like just like being aware of something for quite a long time before you can really even do anything about it. Like it's like a crucial stage.
Yeah, that's exactly, I think, where I have been this past week. Last Friday, I had just some minor kind of conflict with my wife, similar territory, as kind of our typical conflict areas and, communication. And it's we've only been married 30 years, so we're pretty new at, learning how to talk to each other. Not that I'm sarcastic at all, but that I thought I was making, I had shared a few weeks ago, I felt like there was, I was making some progress on kind of pausing and noticing. And some stuff came up that kind of hurt me, but I kind of withdrew and then ended up coming back pretty quickly and just saying, it's Friday. I don't want to be annoyed or short with you for the weekend. Do we need to do anything more to repair what came up earlier? And I ended up, I just felt like I was just hurt. I mean, I just kind of felt like I was started dissociating. She was explaining her point of view more, and it wasn't that I felt like anything she was saying that I could see all of it. It wasn't that it was inaccurate. What I realized, though, is part of me felt like I am never going to get any better at this, at dealing with criticism and not just being accepted or praised or, whatever I need. And so I was feeling like a failure. But also, what occurred to me was that I was actually feeling like that's kind of a new thing for me. Like what's been shared is just like noticing the feeling that I was hurt, and instead of getting defensive and fighting back or trying to find something to pick on her about, I just let myself feel hurt. And that, rather than being dissociated or withdrawn, it was different and it has sucked. Like it's not has not been a good feeling. But what that led to was this kind of recognizing her feelings are hers, and those don't have to be my feelings. I don't have to agree or feel them. And that is normal. Like I think we're so enmeshed at times that when she is feeling upset, it upsets me and I want to do something to change it. And so just letting her have her feelings. I don't know. It just, it's taken me a few days to process that and to move beyond it. But what felt like a full mile step backward, I think, I'm not sure. Like your reading suggested, maybe it's more passing that same territory, but spiraling, and I'm in a different spot to be able to recognize it. And then the last thing I'll add is just starting to read, work through a book my therapist recommended for doing parts work. It's this, a move toward one of the simplified IFS version. And one of the quotes in there is, what you resist persists. And that really struck me as like that's just stopping resisting is kind of what I think I'm noticing. And yeah, so forward for all of us, right?
So a little bit of a story time. This week, I decided to do something fun with my husband. And we went to the Lucy Darling performance, excellent comedian. We went on Tuesday night. He called out, and it was one of those going out on a school night, you know, it's a work night. The show started at the time I normally go to bed. But that was a win because it was important for intentional connection. So my healing is allowing for intentional connection. And of course, my sleep was not fantastic. And so the next day I was quite tired and quite grumpy. And my little judgmental, controlling part was kind of at the wheel. And I found myself struggling with that part, right? My first instinct would be to shut it down, to shame myself or blame myself. And I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but Laura posted one of those infographics where it's like, you can be this and that. And it was such an important reminder, right? Like, I can be this and that. And I have found myself more tired as the day went on. And I think I was grumpy towards my coworker. But I was so tired that I was like, I was able to tell myself that don't believe your thoughts when you're tired. Like, you don't really know. And I was clear in my communication. I wasn't rude, but there was a part of me that like just saying what my needs were, my preferences were, was somehow a failure. But I like stayed with it. I was like, okay, you clearly communicated, just sleep on it. Don't profusely apologize. Don't make it awkward. And so the ability to, like what was said earlier, the little pauses, the noticings. And then today I had moments at work that would have completely triggered me, like activated me, dysregulated me. And there was one of the people I was helping has a mental health condition that I would just like, I absolutely don't want to talk to this person. Like, there was like, it always goes badly. Like, it always goes badly. And I realized today that she's like my favorite person. Like, I've healed something in me that I can be fully present with, even those that completely I would get dysregulated by. And that was huge. And to wrap it up, on my way home, I was listening in on this, on Everybody Shares, and I drive home and there's a weird car parked in front of my house. And it's, you know, anybody can park anywhere, but I live in a neighborhood where it's pretty common for cars to get dumped. So I, you know, if you park in front of my house and your car has spray paint all over it, I'm going to take a picture of your plates in case something weird comes up. In the past, I would shame myself for being too hypervigilant, but tonight I was like, nope, I'm allowed to protect my home. And then this man approached me while I'm listening to the call, and he's like, oh, he's trying to solicit something. He's like, that's my car. And I was just firm and direct. And I said, I'm on a call. I'm not interested. Yes, you parked in front of my house. And he immediately moved his car. And I was thinking, in the past, I would have gotten off this call. I would have apologized to him. I would have shamed myself. So the growth takes time. It takes so much time. And I know that in the past, I would hear other people's shares, other people's way of healing, and judge myself against their timeline. And we just don't know what other people have already done or what they've experienced. And I know for me, when I'm in this space, I'm able to identify my wins a lot more and be a lot more compassionate with myself for the times where the controlling parts or the anxious parts, you know, show up. So that's my share. Thanks for listening.
So the challenge that I kind of related to in the reading has to do with other people not recognizing your healing or the progress that you've made. So I'm kind of a recent member of this group, but I've expressed before how grateful I am and how amazing it's been to meet all of you, because I feel so much of a community and I feel like I don't have to explain. You guys just get things, and I've never had that feeling before, and I feel like I've come such a long way. So I've actually been really pleased and kind of proud of myself, and just actually surprised at the progress I've made over a short period of time. And I've been engaging in healthy, what I feel are healthy activities. I started going back to yoga, which I really love. I started walking the beach, which is like amazingly cathartic for me. I've been able to set some boundaries, which has been such a challenge my whole life, and I've recognized that. But what happened just yesterday was I'm a mom. I didn't think I ever wanted to be a mom, because I was so afraid to replicate things from my childhood. I was just like, no, 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 no. And then after many years of like therapy and work, I felt I think I can do this. And I decided that I'm an only child, but I decided I will have at least two children if I have children, because if I'm a really bad mom, at least they'll have each other to talk to, and they'll know that like they're not the crazy ones, that I'm the crazy one. So I did have two children, and they're in their 20s now, and one of my daughters is, she and I are really close. We've had our ups and downs. And my other daughter is really judgmental. And she came home this week and she kind of called me out on some stuff. And it's really hurtful for me, because this person is somebody that, like, it takes me back to all of those feelings of maybe I should have never had children. Maybe I am a terrible parent. Maybe I am whatever. So my healing has not been recognized, and it makes me feel really insecure. So the fact that like it kind of depleted, or it took all the wind out of my sails. Like I've been so happy and so like feeling accomplished, and then suddenly like now I just feel like a big failure all over again. And I feel, again, like the worst possible realization is that I'm doing something to hurt my children.
Yeah, I could relate to this one a lot, because I got triggered recently. I have all this crazy stuff going on. My wife is going to have heart surgery in a little bit over 2 weeks. We don't know what the recovery is going to be like. And she and I have kind of informally adopted a teen who's going to come live with us. So, but my wife is still kind of living at her parents' apartment, because she's been house sitting it. And I'm at our apartment, and they're like 45, 50 minutes apart. But it's a little awkward on the trains. I don't really like going down there. Anyway, so our hallway now has a mattress for our daughter, which is good. But we're trying to sort of clear things out so that the space, which is very crowded, crowded studio, can be okay for the three of us and five cats and my wife's recovery. But we don't even know right now. Like, she might be recovering more at her parents' place than our place. We just kind of got to see what happens. It's sort of weird, everything being up in the air, and I'm not very good at that. And so she and our daughter started cleaning out the place, and I got really triggered. Sometimes when things get messy or there's a lot of change, I get really triggered. And then my inner critic got really mad and got into, like, oh, look, you haven't improved at all in all these years because you got triggered again. So you still totally suck in every way, and everything is wrong with you. So that was really hard. But what has helped some, first of all, feeling like I'm not alone and learning about this podcast, but also I go to Alcoholics Anonymous and I got myself to a meeting in terrible weather on the bus. I was like, I have to go. I feel so bad. And I got a little space of, like, my brain is doing this to me instead of just, I'm really that bad. So sometimes I'm still feeling like I'm really that bad, but I'm starting to see that my therapist said being triggered is normal, no matter where you are in recovery. So maybe I can be nicer to myself about that. That would be cool. We'll see.
Yeah, just maybe be nice.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, thank you. This is a very great topic. For myself, of how I see myself healing, I'm telling the truth instead of carrying all this alone. Sometimes I'm able to catch that shame voice instead of fully believing in it. Right before it hits me, that shame voice. I notice my jaw, right when it's clenched, instead of kind of like disappearing into numbness. I can say I was abused instead of I was disgusting. I know this is not a perfect piece. I don't like to use the word triggers. I use the word activation, where I'm activated. So whenever I stop myself before I'm activated. A lot of times whenever there's a situation that happens with me and my wife, I call it the shock and awe, because sometimes she thinks I'm going to react one way and I'm actually calm, cool, collected, and I'm going, no, I'm not activated by that. And years ago that was a different story. And my healing is always included these few things is, my healing is included that I've written my story. I've named my abuse. I recognize my numbness and my abandonment. When it comes to healing, I notice my jaw. I notice my shame list. And I notice that I'm safe. And that's healing. I noticed for the last 6 years, I've stayed into therapy every week instead of commitment, right? That's healing. It's healing when we're showing up for each other. It's healing when we show up for each other for ourselves, because we're not knowing when we join this group. We don't know what the fuck we're doing. A lot of us are scared. I built the Healing Bear. I built my own business. That is healing. When you're a little bit of growth each day, each week, each month, the next thing you know, you're like, fuck, Andrea, I'm here for 4 or 5 years here. Okay, here we go. So, much love to all you fine folks, and thank you for letting me share.
I made a list as everybody was sharing. So it'll probably go by quick, but for me, and this isn't everything, this is just kind of the things I was able to jot down really quick. For me, the ways I have noticed that I'm healing are in my anxiety predictions and spirals, they've decreased significantly. And I can more easily notice when I'm starting to slide down a spiral and interrupt it and focus on something else, and not go into shame about it. I can accept that where I am in my life is, and in my healing journey, is exactly where I need to be, instead of believing that I should be further along or I should be working harder than I already am. Or, the list of shoulds goes on. And that one has really kind of hit home
recently. Like, I've heard over and over from people throughout my healing journey that you're exactly where you need to be. And that just never sat right until now. And so, like, that's for me is a big win. One powerful one is I listen to my internal signals when something feels like a yes or a no, and I follow through on them versus doing what I perceive I should be doing to please somebody else. And I am practicing allowing my feelings to exist and catching myself when I start to suppress them. Now, there's still a belief in my system that says that being healed means I won't be bothered or activated by anything that happens to me or around me. But like, I know that that's an unhealed part. And a lot of times that's my logical brain wanting my feelings to catch up to what I already know instead of allowing my space, the space for my feelings to exist. And even though my logical brain is way ahead, yeah, it's been. Oh, and somebody's share this week in the chat, her share really hit home with me because I was in that exact place several years ago, and it allowed me to reflect on like how far I've come. And that's one great thing about this community and the different places we are all at in our journey. We can all draw from each other's experiences and support each other and everybody and everybody's experience because we're all in different places. We've experienced different things, and that diversity is very, it's helpful in healing community like this. I think it's helpful in general, but yeah, thank you.
Hey everyone. So, yeah, there's quite a few ways where I feel like I can notice my healing. Maybe one of the biggest ones, and maybe this started happening like 6 or so months ago, and this kind of ties into thinking that healing means feeling good. I don't quite know what brought it on, but I had this realization of just like, if I'm holding my standard up to like I always like I'm not doing well enough unless I can say that I'm doing good, like that's just unrealistic. Like I'm going through a divorce and starting a business and a whole lot of other stuff, but also being no contact with my mom and whatever. But I landed on like I feel solidly okay. Like I may not feel good on most given days, but I feel grounded and I feel safe in my skin, and I trust myself and I trust my judgment, and I trust that I am showing up as the parent that I want to be. And in the moments that I am not, I know that I'm taking notes and working on the things that I can pinpoint that I need to work on. So like I am solidly okay is something that I often tell myself at least several times a day. And that has been really big to reframe. Like, I don't need to be feeling good. And there's some days where someone will ask me, "How are you?" or some moments, and I will say good because I genuinely feel good and I'm not like putting on an act. But I've also gotten really good at just saying, like, I'm okay. And if people are like, "Oh, not good, you're just okay," be like, "Yeah, I'm solidly okay." And that's where like I'm happy being there. So even just feeling confident and like sharing that has gotten easier over the last bunch of months. So that's been a really big indicator for me. I think it's just over the last 2.5 years, the whole concept of like healing is not linear has really taken root. Because yeah, there are days where they are harder than others, and but keeping in mind that healing is not linear, you know, like I generally don't feel like I take steps backwards. And even when there are people close to me that or in the support group that are opening up and talking about how they feel like they took steps backwards, I'm able to see that, you know, like they're not back at square one, or they didn't actually, like they're just like we're all just kind of in this process of continuously working to improve, and it's reasonable for there to be ebbs and flows. And I feel like even if maybe we kind of like reverted back to old habits or maladaptive behaviors to some degree, we're not like back, that far back. Like we're like approaching it differently, I guess, is what I want to say. Another thing that I've realized over the last couple of months is I do a lot of IFS work, and I've recognized that my like clipboard holding critical part, he's just not there. So lately he's kind of like reared his head a bit, but for the most part, we have like a mutual trust. And so I don't have that anxiety that that part brought and like cultivated in me. There's just like been a really big settling of anxieties and future tripping and just a lot of things. I'm just feeling so much more settled, and it's nice. I think maybe that part has a new job these days. It's just really nice to kind of be in this space where I don't have that that anxiety and that critical voice just constantly on. So those are some of the indicators that I've had in recent months that have really signaled to me how far I've actually come.
Hey, fam. You want to know how I know that I'm an adult child? Is because I've said this in here before, but like this is one of the safest places I have. I love you all to death. I'm so glad for this space. And yet still I have that feeling that I shouldn't talk about what I need to talk about because it doesn't fit. Like, this is something for a different program. Like, don't bring it up here. Or when people talk in like AA and they're like really hard asses about like, we don't talk about drugs here. And my idea is that like recovery is recovery, no matter what thing you have or you're dealing with. And that's what I believe. But my win this week, I feel like I don't know. Anyways, my win has been I am a person who is a sex and love addict, and when people say at meetings they're like I'm recovered from alcoholism, I always like didn't like that. But I want to say like my win is I feel like recovered from sex and love addiction. It used to be such a giant part of my life, like everything focused around it, and now it's just become less important for my day-to-day life. I am okay with myself. I love myself. I don't need that constant praise and validation like I used to need. And it's so much better. Like everyone's saying in the meeting, like there's so much hope for getting better. Like the healing really does heal some of these wounds. It doesn't make them go away. It doesn't fix them. There's still scars. But like I am so much happier on a day-to-day basis. Growing up a little closeted gay kid, I hate it. Every day was a struggle. Every day was the worst day of my life, except for the next one. And I don't feel that way anymore. I used to be so deeply and incredibly lonely, and I'm not lonely anymore. Like I'm not lonely, which is bananas, like literally crazy, because I was such a little lonely kid. And my biggest, deepest fear was that I would always be lonely. And I get to today be that healthy, loving parent to Mikey, my inner child, who is sitting there so wrapped up in the fact that, like, I'll always be this way. I'll never be able to be myself. I'll never be able to be seen or heard or understood. And I get to tell him that one day you will be more loved than you've ever been in your entire life. And it's going to come from you. It's going to come from my higher power that is me, that exists within myself. Like I get to love me the way I needed to be loved and couldn't, didn't know how, didn't think I deserved it, didn't think a lot of things. And today I can say that like the loneliness will subside. It's not perfect, far from perfect. Like I have plenty of struggles. But another crazy thing for me is that like why do I have two therapists? Because I do. Just leave it at that. I was doing one with like EMDR and one with like verbal talk, but like what's crazy now is that like I feel like I can go down to like every other week with them. Which if you asked me years ago, like with my first therapist, I'm like, can we meet every day? Please, I need it. I'm like dying. Now I'm like, it's again, it's not like life is perfect. It's like it's just so much better. like having all the pieces of the puzzle put together, like having my recovery groups, my community, being on the right medication, being in a stable job, in a stable home, in a stable relationship. And like, it's not like the really, I always thought the relationship would fix me. Like, when I find my boyfriend, it's going to be all great. Everything's good. Not the case. But I'm so much better now. I get to be that loving partner because I learned how from you guys. I learned how to do that here. Like, it is just mind blowing how much hope there is. And that if you're going through it right now, God, do I feel you? I have been there. I've been curled up in that fetal position on the ground crying for days on end, and it will not stop and it will not end. And it does end eventually. Like the period of withdrawal that we go through to get through these, whatever our addictions and whatever things are hurting us and keeping us back, they change over time, and they're able to be healed by us, by community, by sponsors and higher powers, and all those things put together is like there's not one magic bullet. It's all of these gears working together. Let us heal and like really heal. So I appreciate all of you. I love you. If no one told you today, you are loved, you are valuable, and you fucking belong here. Thanks, friends.
So the first thing that came to my mind was, I'm still coming. And that to me tells me that I'm healing because that's not my typical MO. I mean, I can get into a lot of rooms, but I can't stay. I bail. Because I just don't want to be seen too closely. So that's it. That's one thing. The other thing is I can talk. Because when I started coming here, there were things I wanted to say, but I couldn't stop crying. And so now I can feel sadness and not cry. Not that crying's bad, but I can't speak when I'm crying. So there's that. I think the first day I came here, I don't think I even gave Andrea a chance to say, is anyone new? I just started blurting. I just started talking. And so I can be impulsive. And I'm a little bit less impulsive these days, but I certainly can still be that way. I worry a little bit less about what I'm revealing of myself to you when I speak that's bad, and I don't know it, but you all do. That self-consciousness where, I am performing. I'm not in my body. I'm preoccupied with what I'm revealing to you that that's outside of my awareness, but you all know. And the fact that I'm even able to under articulate that, speak it still happens sometimes, is progress. I guess being in this group is where I learned just how lonely I have been all my life. And the way I learned it is by feeling so inadequate in social situations, which this to a large extent is. The fact that I'm even saying this is progress. I don't practice meditation. I don't do breathing exercises. That stuff I still, like somatic stuff, I still shy away from, but I'm okay with it now. I'm not in trying to understand it. I'm just trusting that I'm moving at my own pace. And although it's been maybe almost 2.5 years, and I think I have seen people come in and kind of like make such great progress. And, for fear of sounding like I'm comparing, like they've moved past me, but that's really about just my pace. And I guess I must be somewhat okay with that too, because I do move quite slow. It takes me a long time. I can't really think of anything else. I'm sure there's a ton more. Yeah, I can't meditate. I'm still like in a functional frenzy. That's what I call it. I'm always busy. I'm always doing some things. I just don't want to sit with my feelings. I can do it with my therapist. I just don't want to be alone with them. It's like that little girl in me is still so needy, and I still don't think I'm capable of giving her what she needs. So there's that. Thank you for this topic because it really forced me to think about myself in terms of where I've been and where I am right now. And I just feel really appreciative.
Thank you,
And
Kat.
I love this group, Andrea, that you
We love
created.
you too,
Thanks.
books, bags, and belts.
So I'm fairly new to this group, but I wanted to share kind of a win. I have two daughters in their 20s, and The last few weeks, I've really uncovered. I always try to figure myself out the last 45 years of my life. I guess maybe when I was five, trying to figure it out. I don't know. And then realized, oh, yeah, like all these things. I thought I knew it all. Yeah, I'm an adult child. Okay, fine, going through a breakup. But for the first time with my daughters, I sort of got their permission. I didn't want to parentify them. And I essentially know that I was a good enough mother. And just to keep it kind of light and funny, you know, I thought having kids, I married their dad who had dreamed of a family. And I grew up like hating that family. You know, my dad had remarried and was replaced and, you know, part of the abandonment stuff, but my mother was the main issue. But I realized having kids, it's not like, I'm like, I'll try that out, but it's not like buying something and returning it to Target. You're in, you are in for it. But anyway, grateful that I had them. But my win was, when they were born, I had like no emotion. Their dad was crying, and I was like, what do I do with this next? Like, it was very analytical. Like, now what do I do with this baby? But the other day, I sat on the floor and cried with my daughter and opened up to her about all my pain. And that actually was a win because it actually made me emotionally close to her. So, you know, you can just do your best as a mom. And if you did better than your mom, then you've done better. I mean, we've all done better if we do better than our parents. So. Thanks, you guys, for listening.
I'll keep it short. I wrote down some things too as I was thinking of them. I think for myself, one of the biggest things is it's much less my black and white thinking. Everything all good, all bad. I'm all good. I'm all bad. You know, I've learned that I'm better at not comparing myself to other people. Not that I never do, but I realize now that I can be myself more, and I'm not as afraid of what other people think of me. I'm not as concerned if you like me or not. I feel more comfortable in my own skin. I don't feel like I need to fit in, or I don't feel like I want to fit in as much as I did before. You know, I want to be able to be me, and the people who are meant for me will come to me, and I'm okay with that. I can make a mistake, and I can be okay with the fact that I can make a mistake. I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to be all things to all people. I think that today I'm kinder to myself, especially when it does come to my children, my adult children, and my grandchildren. I can accept the fact that I made mistakes. They pay the price. However, they are adults and they can heal as well. And it's okay. You know, it's okay. I can't beat myself up. I can cry today because I could never cry before. And I can name feelings today that I could never name before. You know, I had a couple feelings, happy, sad. That was pretty much it. So I can add to that today. Yeah, just more accepting also of other people and knowing that there's nothing I'm going to do or say that's going to change someone else or a situation that I think should change or that I want to change. I would say on a good day, I'm more peaceful. Not that things are, you know, and life doesn't have to be perfect and every day doesn't have to be good, you know, and that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me. It's I'm human. And, you know, we have good days, we have bad days, we have better days, we have worse days, and that's okay. That's life, up and down. Yeah, that's it for now. Thanks.
I wholeheartedly feel and agree with the shares about knowing when we're healing. I have something I'd like to add, which was my struggle from the very beginning of joining this community. And the first one is ageism. I'm retired. I'm 77. And I was absolutely convinced there was no place for me. I judged myself as being near finished. And I looked at you all as having a broader, a much wider highway and clearer path to travel toward healing than me, because I was thinking that it's so late and you all have lots of space to make changes and continue to grow. And I am not in contact with any family, so I'm isolated. But what has happened for me, and I've said it before, is in this community, in this space, I am a human being. I'm a human being, and I feel that about myself for the very first time in my life. And now that I can claim my humanity, my humanness, that I'm not just nothing, that I'm not broken, that I'm not a freak. Now that I can claim that, it's as if everything about me has expanded. My heart has expanded. I'm far more compassionate, and compassionate almost naturally without having to calculate my safety first. I feel more a part of the world. I always saw myself as standing on some craggy mountain alone and freakish. And now I recognize I'm part of the human community. I have learned that in working through the years that I have been here, it's like I've dropped a diamond. I've dropped a diamond in the water, and I'm watching the circles go out. And one thing I've learned from chaos theory, I think it is that even when I lose sight of the expanding circles, they are continuing on to infinity. And so one of the things that has helped me cope with my daughter going no contact is I looked at myself in the context of society and my experience as a baby boomer. That's what I am. And we're gradually passing into everyone's memory. But things that I taught that I emphasized with my daughter, I did what I knew and saw around me was best. And there was no way possible, and I can say that now, there was no way possible that I could know what I didn't know. I felt a great deal of shame when I realized that my daughter was doing drugs while she was living with me, and that my friends knew it, and they thought that I was just passively going along with it. And that was another thing of the things that I thought would kill me. But I look at when I grew up, the drugs, the meth epidemic, there's always been drugs around, but the meth epidemic, my daughter is part of that trend. I was not. The worst thing that I did, and it involved alcohol, is there was a school play, and another girl and I were in charge of the refreshments. And we had a big punch bowl, and she and I found like a quarter bottle of Red Mountain wine. You guys are not winos, that's rot gut. We poured it in the punch and just stood around and giggled and giggled, but I am not familiar with drugs. I emphasized the danger of the world, and the danger of the world came from my childhood experience in my home, but it was bigger than that. I remember the first 10 years knowing so much about Hiroshima and the atomic bomb. I was born in 49, just 4 years after that event. So those things were all real. I came into this group and I was talking about the fact that my daughter was in ballet and she played musical instruments, etc. I recognize now that the things that I emphasized had to do with my generation and my culture and what was shown to me as ideal. Fortunately, she was able to play the French horn and the violin of her choosing. But if I had been, I realized that in my time, you either took lessons on the accordion or you did tap. So I'm by looking at the span of time that I am a part of that has impacted me, it's given me another way to appreciate my humanness. It's given me another way to appreciate my divineness. I think we talk about healing being hard. It is hard and it is complex. It's because we are so complex. The beauty for me in this community is I have been able to move sort of organically into each of these areas. For example, revealing the sexual abuse, which for 50 years, I never could say it. I never acknowledged it. It existed way back in my head. So to sum up, because I know we're over time, I think a beauty of this community is we all fit in. And whether or not we fit in is a matter of our beliefs and our feelings about ourselves and our safety in this area. I could go on, but I won't. I would just say, I am blessed, blessed, blessed to be here. I am so happy to know that I am so expansive and infinite and have all these influences that now I can appreciate those influences and what they contributed to me rather than taking away from me. Those words like inclusivity, what are those? Those words that always get twisted around don't fit here. We're all, I'm human and I'm human like y'all.
We be humans.
We be humans. Beautiful.
Thank you, Sandra.
Let it all go.